الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمین یا رب العالمین. Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have already spent 2 hours in discussing some preliminary points about Surah Al-Fatiha, and especially its analysis with special reference to a hadith of Qudsi, which gives us a very fine analysis of the contents of this surah. Then we proceeded to the study of this surah word by word, and we could complete only the first sentence, Alhamdulillah. I told you, according to Arabic grammar, this is complete sentence. Alhamd, mubtada, lillah, khabar. So actually this is the complete sentence, first sentence in this surah. As I said in the last session, I was thinking of taking only one more hour in the study of this surah. But I have decided to spend both hours of today for the study of this surah al-Mubarakah, because this is the integral part of our salah. As I told you, this is Ummul Quran, Asasul Quran. There are so many other names, Al-Kafiya, Al-Shafiya, Al-Raqiya, so many names of this surah. And I gave you the saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that this surah is equal to 2/3 of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has himself called it Sab'an min al-Masani wal Quran al-Azim in Surah Al-Hajj, Hijr. So now, briefly again, Alhamdulillah. Alhamd, the alif lam in Alhamd is lam-e-marfa, lam-e-tarif, to make something proper noun. And this is according to the Arabic grammar, lam-e-istighraq or lam-e-hasr or lam-e-jins. What's the meaning? All praise, all kinds of praise. So this al gives you all, the sense, the meaning of all. Then I told you, hamd is usually translated by only one word, and that is praise, which is, if I say the least, it's insufficient, if not incorrect, insufficient. Because actually for praise, the word in Arabic is sana. But when shukr and sana, they are joined together, it becomes hamd. And this word is very peculiar for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ummah. All the names of the Prophet are derived from this root. Muhammad, from hamd. Ahmad, ismuhu Ahmad, again from hamd. And the Prophet said, Ana Hamid wa Ana Mahmood. All the names, most of the popular names, they are coming from this root. The name given to this Ummah is Hammadun. People who are praising and thanking Allah the maximum. We are Hammadun. Because the supplications, the daily prayers of the Prophet ﷺ mostly start with this word. A Muslim must start his morning, when he wakes up in the morning, when his eyes open, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyani ba'dama amatani wa ilayhi nushur. All praise and thanks be to Allah, who gave me another day of life. After death had come to me. Actually, what is sleep? It's sister of death. You go to the bathroom, there is proper evacuation, you feel light. What's the supplication? Alhamdulillahi alladhi azhaba anni al-aza wa afani. All praise and thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has removed me, He was removed from my body. What would have been very harmful if it was retained there, aza, something which is harmful. Alhamdulillahi alladhi azhaba anni al-aza. He has taken away that from me. So he be thanked. Alhamdulillahi alladhi azhaba anni al-aza wa afani. Now if you have taken water or something to eat, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani wa saqani wa ja'alani min al-muslimin. So actually this is the psalm of hamd going on. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed you with a son, Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahabali ala al-kibari Ismaila wa Ishaq inna rabbi la sami'u al-du'a. Everywhere hamd. And this hamd, as I told you, because the difficulty seems to me, because I have never studied the English translation before, this is the first time that I am consulting them. I have never felt any need or inclination to turn to any English translations of the Quran. I could understand Arabic directly. Alhamdulillah, we have so many tafasir in Urdu. So there was no need. I never felt any inclination to read any English translation. But now I have to do it, perforce. And I am seeing that the difficulty with the translators is that they want to substitute one word for one word. And this is impossible. The characters of Arabic language and characters of English language are absolutely different. At many times you have to use two words to complete the sense of an Arabic term, Arabic word. One of the examples is this hamd. Shukr and sana. Joined together, it is hamd. And there is another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that on the day of judgment, in the Maidan-e-Hashr, where all humanity will be standing before its Lord after resurrection, the Prophet says, لِوَاُ الْحَمْدِ بِيَدِي. I will be holding the banner or standard or flag or color of hamd. I will make hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that divine court, the court of the day of judgment. I'll be the spokesman representing the whole of humanity and I'll make praise. I'll be doing sana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Liwa'ul hamd bayadi. And now, as I told you, this one sentence negates all sorts of shirk of the commonly religious sense. There is shirk of political sense that we shall be discussing later, inshallah. The practical shirk. But the shirk of dogma, shirk of aqidah. Whole shirk of aqidah is negated by one sentence. Why? When all good, whether material or spiritual, is coming from Allah, it might be coming through a very long chain of causes and effects. Although we are getting something from the sun also. But actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has produced this heat in the sun. Sun is nothing. We are getting something out of water also. It quenches our thirst. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the property of quenching the thirst. So he be thanked. Not water, not food, not the sun, not the earth, not the moon. Nothing else beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of praise and thank. Now, in one sentence, in one masterly stroke, the root of shirk is cut. That is why let me quote to you a hadith. It is from Jami Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, and this has been reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. The Prophet said, At-tasbihu nisful mizan, wa alhamdulillahi tamlauhu. The mizan, the balance of the gnosis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the marfa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Half is at-tasbih. The rest of the half is full through alhamd. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. These two things go to make the whole concept we can have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another hadith, again in Jami Tirmidhi, an rajulin min bani Sulaymin. And here there's an addition. At-tasbihu nisful mizan, wa alhamdulillahi tamlahu, wa takbiru yamlahu ma baina samawati wal ard. When you add this third, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. All the space between the earth and the skies, it is filled. So this is the grandeur and the splendor of these very small sentences. Alhamdulillah. Now, lillah is also not one word. Lam, harfijar. It has two meanings. Although there are so many meanings, but two can be considered here. Laam-e-istihqaq and laam-e-tamliq. Istihqaq means all praise, all gratitude is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His right. And all praise, all gratitude belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's His property. Laam-e-tamliq, milkiyah. And I told you about Allah. It is taken to be generally the proper noun for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the creator of this kainat, this universe. And there is one view that it is ism-e jamid, proper noun, ism-e alam. It has not been derived from any root whatsoever. But I agree with the second view that it is also alif lam added to ilah. Al-ilah has become Allah. The two lams have merged into each other. Al-ilah. And this is Allah. And I told you, let me briefly again repeat. It's a very unique root of the Arabic language. Having all the meanings that we can have and we can visualize about the creator of this universe. Alaha ya'lahu means abada, worshipped. Alaha ya'lahu, tahayyara, became astonished, couldn't understand. Alaha ilah, tawajjaha. He turned his face towards something. Then walaha. Walaha ahabba. He loved. And in Urdu we use walihana muhabbat. Walaha. Then laha yaluho. It has three meanings. Khalaqa, irtafa, ihtajaba. So all these concepts in one root. In one word. And this is actually the miracle. Miracle of Quran. And you can say, how rich this Arabic language is. But it's absolutely clear that the last and the most comprehensive message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could actually be revealed in Arabic only. No other language had the depth and breadth to accommodate these meanings in one word. So, alhamdulillah, this is the complete sentence. Now the rest of the portion of the first ayah is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now this is actually, now it is attached to Allah that He is the Rabb of all the worlds. Now what are the meanings of Rabb? Rabb has again two meanings. Generally the meanings that are given, sustainer. That's not sufficient. The primary meaning of this word, this root rab, is the owner. That is why some of the translators prefer the word Lord. Lord of all the worlds. Because the Arabs say Rabbul Mal. Rabbul Mal, the person who owns the capital. Capitalist, Rabbul Mal. Rabbud Dar, the person who owns the house. Rabbud Dar. So Rab actually primarily means someone who owns something. And secondarily, whatever you own, you will try to maintain it, support it, sustain it. Also, you will like to have some increase in it, develop it. So all these concepts are attached to that basic concept of owning. He is the owner of all the worlds. He is actually the Lord of all the worlds. So these both meanings must be kept in mind. What is Alameen? Another thing must be noted. In the Quran we found in many places that the concept that Allah is Rabb comes before the concept of His being Khaliq. Although we know, Takhliq is first, creation is first. Then comes Rububiyyah. You have to sustain it or maintain it. First you have to create it. So creation is first and Rububiyyah comes later. But you find in Quran, the first ayah that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was it? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Rabb mentioned before khalq. Then you know the message of the Quran. In the third section of Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhannas u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. Rabbakum, primarily he is your Rabb. And also he is your creator. Although the sequence should be takhliq first and rububiyyah after that. But why is it so? Why Rabb first and takhliq afterwards? Why? Nothing is there in Quran without any basis, without any reason. Fa'lul hakim la yakhlu anil hikmah. This is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kalam of Allah. It cannot be devoid of hikmah and wisdom. Actually, if you trace the development of human mind, the first impression that every child has in this world is of need. He needs something. He's hungry, he needs something. He feels some danger, he needs some protection. So actually, takhliq, it comes later on when he is mature. That I was being created, I was created, who is the creator? These things come later on. They dawn on human consciousness much later. But the need is there. I need to eat. I need to drink. I have some other need which must be fulfilled. That is why you know this rububiyyah of the parents is the first impression. So shukr for the parents is the first manifestation of the sentiments of shukr in a human child. So actually, rububiyyah comes first, and when you are mature enough, you are thinking about who you are, where from you have come, what's this universe, then the concept of creation comes to you. So the first is of Rabb. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Ya ayyuhan nas u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Now what is alameen? Alam, the translation done by nearly all is worlds. But what does it mean? This, you know, root ayn lam mim. Alima, alima ya'lamu means what? He came to know something. Alima. From ilm, he came to know something. Alima. But alama, alama means to make some mark, to make some sign, to recognize and remember. From this we derive the word alama. Alama. Alamat, which we call in Urdu. What is alama? Alamat. Something with which you can recognize something, which becomes a symbol for something. So that is alamat or alama, as we should pronounce it in Arabic. So actually, all this creation is alama for the creator. The creator, through his creation. So everything actually which he has created is an alama, to know and remember and recognize the Creator. That is why these are all alameen. Now, what are those alameen? Quran tells us alam khalq, alam amr, alam dunya, alam akhirah, alam barzakh. Then alam ins, alam jinn, alam arwah, alam jamadat, alam nabatat, alam hayvanat. Go on, go on. So all these worlds, everything in this universe is a sign of Allah. You have to remember and recognize, and you have to know Him through these marks and signs. Rabbul Alameen, in this way, all the concept of Alameen, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns them all, is the Lord of them all, is the sustainer of them all, is the supporter of them all everything is in His Rububiyyah, under His Rububiyyah. So now first ayah is complete. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This subject, please note it here. It will become the starting point of our next lesson. That all creations are signs for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to know Him through His creations. So that is basically the beginning of the argument to prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the Quranic way of proving the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not the logical way. It's not the way of the philosophers. It's not the way of the mutakallimeen. No. Quran has its own way of argument, its own way of ascertaining and proving that Allah exists, and these are His basic attributes. So that will be the next lesson, the last section of Surah Al Imran, inshallah, which we shall inshallah study tomorrow. The second ayah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Why are they majroor? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Because they are being used as adjectives for Allah. Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. They are all explaining Allah, His attributes. Now this Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, this has also become very difficult for the translators to translate. And what to speak of English translators, this has become very difficult for most of the Urdu translators, most of the Mufassireen. What's the difference between Rahman and Rahim? Let me give you the English rendering of the Urdu translation of Maulana Maududi. Uses the verse, the all-compassionate, the all-merciful. Mr. Pikthal translates, the beneficent, the merciful. Allama Asad says, the most gracious, the dispenser of the grace. There are differences. Now let us ourselves try to understand. To understand any word of Arabic language, you must go to the root. The root of both these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, is the same, Rahmah. And for Rahmah, as far as I can understand, I don't claim very deep knowledge of English language, but as far as I can understand, only two words can be used, mercy and compassionateness. Merciful, compassionate. Compassionate, it becomes, you know, more strong word for mercy. So actually, we shouldn't use any other word. And when both these words are derived from the same root, then the same translation must be made. But then we have to see what's the difference between Rahman and Rahim. Now please note that at the scale of Falan, the words that you find in Arabic language, they show the intensity of some condition. If an Arab is dead thirsty, is dying with thirst, he would say, Ana Afshan, I'm dying with thirst. If he's very hungry, dying with hunger, he would say, Ana Jo'an. If somebody is very angry, very angry, very angry, Ghazban, this word has come in قرآن غضبان اسفا when حضرت موسیٰ علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام returned to his people and he was told that they have taken that calf as their معبود, they are worshipping calf. So what was the condition of the anger and sorrow and grief of حضرت موسیٰ علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام? One can very well appreciate, and the word used is غضبان اسفا. He was غضبان. So غضبان, عطشان, جوان, all these things are hayjan, something which is in a stormy condition, hayjan. So Rahman gives this attribute of Allah in a condition of intensity, intense mercy, who is intensely compassionate. His mercy is like a stormy sea, very high waves, they are coming up. But this is the condition of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Boundless, intense mercy. And on the scale of fa'il you have, the words which come, they give you a sense of permanentness, continuity. Aleem, this attribute of his is permanent, continuous. These are two different aspects of mercy and compassionateness. I usually use an example to illustrate this difference in my lessons. Supposing you are going somewhere in your car or some other vehicle on a road journey, and you find on the road there is an accident, which we have usually in Pakistan. Some bus has collided with some other bus or trailer or truck. Several people have died. There was some woman traveling alone. Nobody knows her whereabouts. She's dead. And he had a small child. She had a small child, which is clinging to the breast of the dead mother. Nobody knows who this woman was, where from she was coming. But this child now, every human soul will feel within himself a storm of mercy. This child has been left without any support. Who will support him? And everybody would think that I adopt him. I will look after him. I will rear him up. I will bring him up. So this is the Rahmaniya, temporary Rahmaniya. Maybe you are yourself a poor man. But at that time, though your sentiments are, you don't look to your poverty. You are looking to that child, that innocent child. And you take him. Maybe shortly after that, few days after that, you might feel that I have committed a mistake. My own children were difficult for me to support and feed. I have taken upon an additional burden on me. So that condition, the stormy condition, that mercy and compassionateness has ended. Because that condition is not permanent. But in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both these forms of mercy, they are present simultaneously. And his mercy knows no bounds. It is intense. The stormy condition of his mercy and the permanence of his mercy. And they are simultaneously present. Because you will find in Quran, except for one place, all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attributes, they come without any wawe ataf. It is not ar-Rahmano wal-Rahimo. Ya ar-Rahmane wal-Rahime. Wow is not there. No intervention of any wow. What does it mean? All these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are present in his person simultaneously. You must be remembering, 8 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appear in the last but one ayah of Surah Al-Hashr. Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min al-Muhaymin al-Aziz al-Jabbar al-Mutakabbir. No wow. All these attributes are present in his person simultaneously. So actually he is Rahman, he is Rahim, and both these things actually present in him but at the same time, simultaneously. So I would translate Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate, and Ar-Rahim, the ever compassionate. This will give the exact sense of the difference. The most compassionate, the ever compassionate. It's not going to be a temporary case, it is permanent. Now we come to the third ayah. Malik Yawmiddin. He is the owner, the Lord, the Master, the sole authority of the Day of Judgment. What is Deen? Dana Yadino means to obey or to subdue. This is Dana Yadino. Al-Kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. Taw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet says, the truly intelligent person is he who has subdued his nafs, overpowered his nafs. Now he is the controller of his nafs. He is not being controlled by his passions. He is not being controlled by his animal instincts. He is not being dictated by his id or libido. He is the master of his own personality. He is controlling his id, libido. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu. Who can control and govern his id or libido or the animal instincts. وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And he is working for that life which will start after death. اللهم ربنا اجعلنا منهم. Pray to Allah that Allah makes us from those people who can control and subdue their own nafs, their baser self, their id or libido, their animal instincts, and who are working, not keeping this world and this life in view, but keeping the life hereafter. The other world, the life starting after death. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. Now this dana yadino, there must be some law. There must be some sharia. There must be some rules which you have to obey. So then now, deen includes the law also. Deenullah. The Sharia of Allah. Where Allah is supreme, where Allah is sovereign, and you have to obey Him. What is Deenul Malik? You find this word in Surah Yusuf. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. Because there was a king in Egypt, he was the sovereign, he had the authority, and the whole system in that country was under him. So now it becomes synonymous with the whole system of life, and that is governed by a law. And with the law there is definitely a concept of reward. If you are abiding by law, you will get good rewards. If you are breaking the law, you will be punished. Here at the third level, this deen now means jaza and saza, reward and punishment. What you get as a result of your deeds, this is deen. Malike yawmiddin. He is the owner, he is the total authority, he is the Lord of the Day of Judgment. What does it mean? Nobody will be able to compel him to change his verdict. The concept of shafa'a batila, shafa'a hasana, intercession, and shafa'a batila. That somebody has some power of his own, that he can obstruct the verdict of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا يُخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. No intercession. In that sense, there's no authority, no one who has the power to obstruct the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get him change his verdict. No. This is the ayah preceding the greatest ayah of the Quran, Ayatul Kursi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu anfiqu mimma razaqnakum min qabli an yatiya yawmun la bay'un fihi wa la khullatun wa la shafa'a. Categorical statement. Oh, you who profess to believe, spend for the cause of Allah. Give away, spend before that day comes. The Day of Judgment. La bay'un fee. There will be no trading, no bartering, wala khulla,
No friendship will benefit you. Wala shafa'a. And no intercession would save you. To Malik Yawmiddin. And there's another place in the Quran. There will be some proclamation on that day. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ Who owns the authority? Who is the king? Who is the sovereign today? Although he was sovereign before also. But there were curtains before your eyes. You thought that somebody else is sovereign. I am sovereign. The king of England is sovereign. And so on. And the people are sovereign. Sovereignty of the people. Actually you are being deceived. You are under a wrong notion. He was the sovereign before also. But now, kashafna anka zitaak. All your curtains have been removed. The sovereignty belongs to Allah and Allah alone. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ To whom belongs the sovereignty today? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ All authority, all sovereignty. For Allah who is one and who is all powerful, who is controlling everything. Now here we have completed the first part of the surah. And although Alhamdulillah was a sentence, but all these things have been added as adjectives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise and all gratitude is for Allah, who is Rabbul Alameen, number one, who is Rahman, number two, who is Rahim, number three, who is Malik Yawmiddin, number four. These are the four adjectives used for Allah. Sentence is continuing, the same sentence. But that hadith Qudsi, this was the part. Let me remind you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the mu'min who is making this prayer is saying, when he says, Alhamdulillah, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي When he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says, أَسْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي When he says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ Allah says, مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي And this is for me. He said, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِ عَبْدِي نِسْفَيْنِ فَنِسْفُهَا لِي وَنِسْفُهَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا صَالِ Now we come to the fourth ayah. This ayah I told you, one ayah consists of two sentences. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ There's wow. Two sentences joined together by harfi ataf waw. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ Now two things must be clear before we translate these both parts of this ayah. In Arabic language and also is so in the Persian language. Fi'le muzare that has both the present and future. Mazi is mazi, past tense is past tense. But fi'le muzare, it covers, it includes the present tense as well as the future tense. Nabudoka. It can be translated, we make ibadah to you, and also we shall continue making ibadah to you. Present as well as future. Number two, Nabudoka and Iyaka Nabudu. What's the difference? It is called hasr. Nabudoka, we worship you. And Iyaka Nabudu, we worship you only. None else. It's a world of difference. That's why in the translations that I recited, read to you yesterday, only thee we worship. And only to thee we turn for help. So only is very important. What's the connotation? I will discuss later. Now, iyyaka na'budu. What is ibadah? Actually, I was astonished to see in all the translations, this ibadah has been translated with one word, worship. It's very limited. It doesn't give the sense of ibadah at all. It gives the sense of ibadah in other religions. But ibadah in Islam is a very profound term. And we must understand it fully, thoroughly. What is ibadah? It is derived from Abd. Who is Abd? The bondsman. What's the duty of the bondsman? To obey his master. Whole time, he is not an employee. He can't say, well, I will be working for 8 hours a day only. I'm your servant for 8 hours. He can't say, you have employed me as a cook. I'm not going to wash your bathrooms. No, I have been employed for this purpose. So just don't keep in mind the employer-employee relationship. No time element. No limitation of job. The ghulam, the abd, the slave, the bondsman has to do whatever the aqa, the Lord, commands him to do. And at any time. This is the concept of abd. And we have reduced it to some worships, some rituals, some modes of worship. That is the biggest perversion of our concept, of the basic concepts of Islam. I am using the strongest word, perversion, not only limitation. This has changed the whole complexion of our concepts about Islam. Ibadah, abd. But there is something in addition to this. Obedience and slavery and bondage and bondsmanship. Because for Allah, you must be doing these things out of intense love. While a general slave, he has to obey. But he doesn't obey his master out of love. That has to be added. Don't subtract anything from it. Take the total concept of slavery, of a bondsman, what his attitude should be, total. Add to it the spirit of love. Total bondage, total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but out of intense love for Him. This is ibadah. This concept actually just disappeared during our centuries of decadence and downfall. We were obedient to the Britishers, or to the Frenchmen, or to the Italians. They were our rulers. And we were only saying prayer for Allah. So that concept remained with us. To pray is ibadah, to keep form is ibadah, to perform hajj is ibadah, to pay zakah is ibadah. They are included in ibadah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do it. But actually ibadah is not confined to these modes of worship. In Persian you should say, there are two words, very beautiful words. Bandagi. Bandagi is bondsmanship, banda. And parastish, joined together. Because parastish is out of love. Om parast. A person who loves his nation. Vatan parast, a person who loves his country. Zar parast, a person who loves maal, wealth. Go on. Nafs parast, shahwat parast. All these parastishes are there. Then, bandagi. Quran says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinns and the humans except for they should make ibadah towards me. They should obey me. They should be my bondsmen. And they should love me. They should love me. Thankfulness that will turn into love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are thankful to Him. He is your sustainer. He is your creator. He is your provider. So that gratitude that will give you love. You love your parents, why? This love comes out of the gratitude. They are providing you, they are feeding you, they are caring for you, they are protecting you. And so you love them. So this gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hamd of Allah ta'ala would take you to love. But when you have understood that He is the sovereign of all worlds, He is the Rabb of all worlds, Rabbul Alameen. He is the owner, He is the master, He is the Lord. You have to obey Him. So total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but out of intense love for Him is the ibadah. Let me give you a saying about a conversation that took place between Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun. When Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to the court of Fir'aun and he called them to the path of Allah, that I am His messenger. What was the answer? It is given in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Ayah 47. فَقَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ لِبَشَرَيْنِ مِثْلُنَا لِبَشَرَيْنِ مِثْلِنَا وَقَوْمُهُمَا لَنَا عَابِدُونَ Should we believe in two persons? Basharain. Number one, they are just like ourselves, they are humans. Number two, وَقَوْمُهُمَا لَنَا عَابِدُونَ They belong to a nation which is slave to us. Now, never did the Bani Israel worship that nation. Here, what does it mean? Ibadah. Slavery. They were slaves, no doubt. They were being governed by the Fir'aun and his people. But they never worshipped Fir'aun or any of their gods. So here this word ibadah is absolutely for slavery and obedience. No worship at all. قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ لِبَشَرَيْنِ مِثْلِنَا وَقَوْمُهُمَا لَنَا عَابِدُونَ In Surah Al-Shu'ara, when the Fir'aun counted what good he had done to Moses, أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِينَا وَلِيدًا We brought you up in our house. You were brought up in our palace. Today you have come and you are standing before us and demanding something from us to do. How come? The reply from Hazrat Musa was, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّا عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ You are counting your ihsanat on me. The good that you did to me, and you are just forgetting that you have made the whole of my nation a slave to you. عَبَّدْتَ عَبَّدَ يُعَبَّدُ تَعْمِيدًا Same root, عَبَّدْ So basic concept of ibadah is obedience and slavery and bondsmanship. That is the basic. But as I told you, if the British had came, they conquered India, we were forced to obey them, we were obeying them, but not out of love. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to obey Him out of intense feeling of gratitude and love. As we find in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ People who have real iman, real faith, they are strongest in love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most beloved with them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah becomes more than and greater than the love for any other person, any other thing. أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ That is the criteria. That is the litmus test of iman. Everybody has to peep into his heart. Is really Allah the dearest to me than anything else, anyone else? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ And there's a saying, a very beautiful saying, how ibadah has been defined by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and his disciple Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah says, لَفْزُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ يَتَزَمَّنُ غَايَةَ الْخُضُوعِ وَغَايَةَ الْحُبِّ But Hafiz ibn Qayyim gives a more comprehensive. He was a disciple. The most beloved disciple of Ibn Taymiyyah was Ibn Qayyim. رَحِمَهُمَ اللَّهِ He defines ibadah. What is ibadah? الْعِبَادَةُ تَجْمَعُ أَسْلَيْنِ غَايَةَ الْحُبِّ مَعَ غَايَةِ الزُّلِّ وَالْخُضُوعِ This ibadah includes two portions, two aspects. Extreme love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and extreme humility before Him. Absolute obedience. Whatever you command. Sare tasleem kab hai, jo mizaj-e yaar mein hai. Ready to accept anything. So that is ibadah. As I told you, this concept of ibadah was perverted during our period of decadence and downfall. It was reduced to rituals only, modes of worship. But now the revivalist movements in the Islamic world, thanks to them, by and large, they have been successful in reviving the concept of ibadah. That ibadah means it entails total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In all aspects of human life, personal, collective, social, political, every aspect of human life has to be under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His obedience is to cover all aspects, no exemption. Because an abd is an abd 24 hours, 60 minutes an hour. He has to be an abd. He can't say, I would do this and not that. He's mamluk. He's the property. The Lord, the Aqa, the Master owns him. He can't refuse anything. Then he doesn't own anything. If the Master has given him some cell to live, some house to live, he doesn't own it. He is himself the property of the Lord, of the Master. If he has given him something to use, some utensils, well, everything belongs to the Master, not to the slave. Slave cannot own anything at all. He is himself a slave. All these concepts are integral parts of ibadah. What I feel is that in these revivalist movements, by and large, there's still a deficiency about the concept of ibadah. The importance of love is not emphasized as much as it should. It has become more or less a mechanical type of obedience only. Or a political concept of state, that's all. While the real essence of ibadah is love, out of deep and intense love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes ibadah. This must be emphasized. It can never be overemphasized. Because I usually give the example of our body and the ruh in it. This body is 100 kilograms. We can't say what is the weight of the ruh. This body is like the obedience in ibadah. And the ruh is like the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The body, whole body of ibadah is obedience. It will be apparent as you can see the body, you can't see my ruh. The apparent will be obedience. You are obeying or not? Are you breaking the law of Allah? Or you are obeying the law of Allah? It will be apparent. It will be visible. Everybody would be able to decide. But actually what makes this obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ibadah is the spirit of love. It should come out of intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that love comes from? It comes from the gratitude. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Now, what should be the translation of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ? O Allah, we worship you only. And we'll continue to worship you only. And we obey you only. And we shall continue to obey you only. Four sentences would give you the meaning of this Iyyaka Na'budu. If you translate only in present tense, the future tense is not there. If you translate only the future tense, the present goes out. If you use the word of worship only, then obedience goes away. If you use the word of obedience, then worship goes. These four sentences taken together, joined together, would give the exact sense of Iyyaka Na'budu. O Allah, Thee only we love, Thee only we worship, and we promise we shall worship You alone. O Allah, Thee only we obey, and we promise we shall continue obeying You alone. Now this is going to be a very big covenant. That is why in that hadith Qudsi Allah says, this is between me and my abd. Aza ma baini wa baina abdi. It's a handshake. It's a covenant. What's the handshake? The Arabs had the habit, if they had concluded a bargain, they used to shake hands. Now this is settled. And that is the basis of bay'ah.
Bay'ah is also an agreement between two parties, two persons. So actually, here there's the handshake between Allah and His Abd. There's an agreement. This is the covenant. Iyyaka na'budu. But this is such a big covenant, a big agreement, that one trembles. Will I be able to fulfill it? Darmiyane qare darya takhta bandam kar dai. Bazmi goi ke daman tarmakur hushyar bash. We are the slaves of our id and libido. We are the slaves of our society. So many influences are working on us. Shall I be able to fulfill my promise? What a big promise. Just imagine. Iqbal says, and very rightly says, Chumi goyam musulmanam bil larzam ke danam muskilat la ilaha. When I say that I am a Muslim, I tremble. Because I know, I understand what are the difficulties in fulfilling this big claim. I am a Muslim. I will obey Allah. I surrender myself to the will of Allah. Will I be able to fulfill it? To me, goyam musulmanam bedlarzam, I tremble. The danam muskilat la ilaha. I know the difficulties. How muskil, how difficult it is to fulfill this solemn pledge, this solemn covenant. That is the relationship that immediately after Iyyaka na'bud, we find Iyyaka nasta'in. Oh Allah, we seek your help. We have decided. We have made a firm resolve. We promise. We will obey you. We will behave as bondsmen to you. Always, everywhere, we shall obey your covenants. We shall love you. But we need your help. That is why the Prophet used to say after every salah, Allahumma a'inni ala zikreka wa shukreka wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, you help me that I can remember you in the best of the ways. I can thank you in the best of the ways. And help me please that I can perform your ibadah in the proper way. I have made the promise. I have made the resolve. I promise to do it. But I won't be able to do it without your help. That is the relationship. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. I make this promise, this solemn pledge. But I depend on your help. I am relying on your help. Iyyaka nasta'in. About this part, we shall have to talk more also. So the next session will also be devoted to this surah al-mubarakah al-azimah, surah al-fatiha. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.